could have done so much better on that day. No, it's still the best you could have done at that time, in those circumstances, in that very moment. But we forget that when we're feeling better later, or when we learn something more later. We can't live in hindsight. That's ridiculous.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. And we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Show. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's just such an honor and a privilege to be with you here on another exciting episode. I've got my wonderful tea here. Tonight, I have this jasmine green tea. It smells wonderful. It smells like you could, you know, put it as a sachet in your drawers or something. It's wonderful. Still very warm, though. But I'm going to enjoy that throughout the rest of the evening. What are you curled up with? I hope it's something wonderful. And anyway, let's get started here. I am so excited because we have a return guest. We had Liberty Forrest on a while ago, and she was talking about the art of trusting your intuition and yourself. And I really wanted to dive deeper into this, like, how do we really put it into practice? We touched it in the first episode, but really didn't have enough time. We ran out of time, so we wanted to have her back. So let me introduce her. She's an international psychic and medium, and award-winning author, a columnist, and a Huffington Post contributor. Her abilities became evident in childhood and naturally evolved over the years until eventually she began reading professionally. For 5 years, she appeared approximately monthly on BBC Radio doing psychic phone-ins. Liberty combines her professional experience with her natural abilities as a psychic and medium to assist her clients in getting unstuck and moving forward in life. You can learn more about Liberty at libertyforrest.com, but let's bring her on right now. Hi, Liberty. Thanks for being back on the show.
Hi, Sharon. Thank you for the invitation. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Now, there's so many places I want to go. First, I want to talk to you that you had mentioned in the first episode where we called it The Art of Trusting Your Intuition and Yourself, sending your body hate mail. And I got a bunch of comments about, like, okay, I can raise my hand for that, but how do we correct it? You know, what's the autocorrect part of that, of that mail?
First thing, of course, I guess, is to recognize that you're doing it. And when I had that moment of that definition or that description hitting me was when I was doing my self-healing project. And it was just this powerful moment of understanding I had been spending years, decades, yelling at my body and, you know, saying things like, I know I'm so angry with it and I hate it. Why doesn't this work and why doesn't that work? And really sending it all these negative messages. And it made me think, if I sent hate mail like that to my friends, how long would they be my friends? and I thought, maybe there's a reason here why, you know, my body and I aren't getting on very well. And it was in that moment that I sort of realized, wow, I need to reconnect with it. I need to respect it. And it's trying to tell me something. Its symptoms are trying to tell me something's wrong. And that's the only way it can do it. And I thought, oh, I needed to reconnect. And I needed to apologize. That was the first step for me. So that might be one place people want to begin. I felt like I owed my body a massive apology for all that negativity and all the things I was yelling at it for not doing right. And I forgot about all the things that it does do and allows me to do.
Oh, I love that apology. You know, I know we mentioned gratitude.
I cried.
I can see why.
I sat there, I put my arms around myself and I cried. I thought about all these terrible things I had said and thought about my body. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I cried. But it was very cleansing and it really changed everything for me. That was a major pivotal moment in my life, not just in my healing journey, but in my life in general.
Oh my gosh. And I love that you gave yourself permission to cry. Too often we hear the sort of, you know, buck up or steel up or whatever the words might be. We had Prima McKeever on not too long ago, and she talked briefly in her presentation about the amazing healing power of breath work, how powerful that a good cry is. And I had to think about, when was the last time I had one of those really good cries?
Gosh, it's not a thing I do. <It's> really, and I think in part, at least for me, because I have very firm spiritual beliefs about how things go in my life and if things don't work out. And, you know, does that mean I'm never sad? No. Does it mean I don't get, I'll well up usually in emotional moments or, you know, something touching like a Hallmark film or advert or something. But yeah, good cry. I just don't, because I think it's kind of, I have this philosophy about, well, you know, if it wasn't meant to be, or there's a reason for that, or so I don't know, but I couldn't tell you when I last had a really good cry.
Yeah, I was thinking about that myself. But then again, I remember the one I did have, and it was so cleansing. It was so amazing. In your book, I wanted to talk about, she's in the throes of finishing edition 2 of The Power and Simplicity of Self-Healing. And there's a part of that in the book where you talk about filling your body with joy after you had this really good cry and this apology. I read that and I went, wow, that sounds really cool. But here again, I went, I'm not really sure what that means. It sounded really cool.
I remember the first time I did it. I remember thinking I had been focusing so much on all the negatives in my life and all the abuse and the difficulties and the challenges and blah, blah, blah. And I always said, you know, there hasn't been a lot of joy. And I wanted to smack myself upside the head and say, wait a minute. Started thinking about, you know, I'd only been focusing on that. Okay, there were all of those challenging things, but gosh, I had, you know, a bunch of children and their birthday celebrations and their milestones and the things that they did that were funny and lots of beautiful times with friends or family or holidays. And I thought, what the hell is the matter with me that I haven't noticed all of those things? And I thought, I really need to be focusing on the joy. And I remember one time, I don't think it was the first time, but it was one of the first after I had that revelation. I remember walking through the snow when I had that aha. It would be in a tub filled with water and meditation, candles, you know, nice kind of a restful place. And I remember just inhaling and just imagining I was inhaling joy and letting it fill every cell in my body, sort of a visual on this beautiful white light that just was about joy. First of all, I was focusing on some of those moments of joy, like the ones I just mentioned. The real big gift was when I chose that day to remember a particularly challenging marriage and the negativity in it. And I thought, no, this is a place I really need some healing. I'm going to remember the joy in it, because there was. And I thought about some of those joyful moments. I could reconnect with that. And then I just filled myself up with that. I just imagined every single cell being filled with it. And I imagined a beautiful light sort of swirling around my body, up and down. So I was immersed in it in all ways. And I can't even tell you how wonderful that felt. And it really took away a lot of the ongoing kind of almost subconscious sting of that marriage that was so abusive and toxic and terrible. Because there's always good somewhere.
Oh my
And it
gosh.
Really, it gave me some balance. So that was the first big shift I had about that. And it's allowed me to have more joy in my life and to let go of, I suppose, without realizing it, there had been a bit of a need to hold on to those difficult bits without even being aware. It had kind of become part of my identity because it was built into my work. It's built into what I talk about when I'm helping people and that sort of thing. I didn't want to talk about it anymore. Didn't want to think about it. It's just like, okay, that's done. I don't need to be in that place anymore. I want to talk about moving forward. I want to talk about what's positive, what's good, where do you want to go and what do you want to create for your life? It changed everything.
Oh my gosh, yes. And I love that idea of filling yourself with joy. And as you talked about it at the very beginning, you mentioned that sometimes at the very beginning, it was like, okay, what are those joyful moments? And I want to share a tip that a mentor gave me for the listeners. Years ago, a longtime mentor has this habit, I guess is what we'd call it, has a great big jar on their counter. And every time there is something really joyful or a life event, a success, a high five moment, a bravo, any member of the family puts a little card in there, writes on there, puts a date on it. Or if they want to give a high five to a family member, they write, you know, something really lovely on there about thank you for, I don't know, what helping me bring in the groceries or something, and put it in this big jar. And then they all get together at the holiday season and they all come together from multiple places. And one of the traditions is they pull something out of that jar and read it. And then everybody gets a moment to reflect back and on, you know, that joyous moment or that wonderful thing that happened to the family or a family member. And I started doing that myself. And, you know, at first the family was a little bit like, what? But really
Mom
got in.
Slipped off her pulley.
Exactly. But I have to say, after a while, they really got into it because they saw that it wasn't just about the event. There was that celebration. And then sort of that packing away of that celebration and bringing it back, like, oh, yes, that really was a wonderful time. It's funny how you mentioned this part of you holding on to some of the more challenging parts, because it is part of the transformation work you do. And then I find what happens is I tend to pack away all of those joyous parts, like, oh yeah, that's complete. And I found that I work really hard now to make sure that it's like continuing to remind myself with gratitude that those parts are also a huge part of my life.
Yeah, we're both. we're the good bits and the not so good bits, and we're what we've learned from all of that.
Oh my gosh.
I think it balance. It's like everything else. Balance is so important in being happy and having a fulfilled life and a healthy life, you know. Very important.
Now, one of the things it also in your book that you mentioned how that you could have these different symptoms. And I found this fascinating because we've had several guest experts talk about this before. Mine has not been that case. My symptoms have been pretty direct and and loud.
In your face.
Yeah. Actually, on my face. So, but it was interesting to me how you talk to each one of those symptoms and talk to your body into understanding what each of those symptoms were. It almost as if And these are my words, guys, these are my words, but it was almost as if I could read into it that the symptoms tended to kind of migrate. It would calm down in one area and all of a sudden pop up somewhere else. Yet you were able to do some visualization and some different types of energy work to work with those. What are some tips that you have for people that they go, oh gosh, that rings a bell. What can we do for symptoms that aren't stabilized to where a medical professional can go, oh, that's it.
Well, I think certainly listening to your body, you know, as we've talked about before, is really important. And Louise Hay was her work was in part responsible for my ability to kind of think about how these things, what they might be saying. So that's one thing I would suggest is checking out. You can even just look it up online. You put in Louise Hay and then what the symptom is or what the body part is, and it'll tell you what it might be saying. But as a homeopath, I had some training about that as well, because the body is actually very literal. Your symptoms can be very literal if you just pay attention. That's the thing. It's about listening to your body. It's what is this saying? And then connecting it with how you really feel about your life. Where are you really stuck? What are your fears? What's holding you back? So when you can, even if you just leave the body parts out of it and just say, okay, what's really going on with me? What do I want? What do I fear? Where am I frustrated? What do I need? And if you write it all down, then you start to apply that to the body parts. What might this body part mean? What's it doing? You know, your hands, they hold on to things. Are you a person who doesn't like to let go? Do you cling, you know, emotionally? I mean, it's just, again, it's just about listening. If you're not, well, like you asked for tips, I said, look up Louise Hay's information. That's a great place to start. Write a list of what your symptoms are and write a list of what's going on in your life. And even just that can start to bring some clarity. But your symptoms will change because we're complex beings, and you can have a lot of things going on at once. So you know, it would be weird to just have one thing come and go. Well, at least for me, that'd be nice. That would have been great if it could have just been one thing. But I think too, you know, if you've had an exceptionally challenging life as I have, or certainly in the past, thank heaven it's a lot lovelier and calmer now, but there was so much turmoil and so much going on physically and in my emotional life and with my family for decades. I just took a real beating and energetically. And there was a lot wrong with this body. But yeah. I'm happy to say I'm healthier now than I've ever been. And since I wrote that book, that changed everything. Well, it wasn't writing the book. It was going through the healing process that led to the book. But it really is that simple, listening to your body.
Right. You said some critical things that I want to sort of underscore, underline there. And that was the concept of what do you need? So many times I find people get confused between what they want and what they really need. And sometimes finding out what I need usually starts with what I want. And then I have to dissect, why do I want that, and get down to what is the need behind it. And oftentimes I've found it's, I'm going to use the word simple, but I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but usually it's something like peace of mind or something very basic. I guess basic is one a better word. It could be something like connection with community, something very basic instead of a new computer or whatever we have. That's drilling down to getting to that very basic point has really helped me understand what the disconnection is. Where have I gotten disconnected from things? And I think that disconnection leads to disharmony in my body.
Well, and it's also about being disconnected with yourself. It's just being disconnected with who you really are and what you really want and how you really feel, because we do tend to shut that off. We get so busy doing for others or doing our jobs, putting other people ahead of ourselves, and or even just working too much, not having enough balance or playtime or rest time or whatever it is. I think that can really kind of mess you up. But it's that disconnect that's at the heart of it. So it's like, say, with an abusive relationship, and people will stay stuck in it, or toxic or unhealthy or whatever you want to call it, you know, some relationship that isn't really good for you. And people will say, oh, but you know, I don't want to leave because, and then they have this list. Oh, well, I don't have the money to leave, or he'll do this or she'll do this or whatever it might be. But when you get down to what's really going on, and it might be, oh, they'll say, well, I want stability or whatever. It's that they really need to be loved. That's usually at the root of it. They need to be loved, and they don't think they can be loved anywhere else, and that, or by anyone else. And that often comes with those kinds of relationships, you know, because they'll make you think nobody else would ever love you. You're not good enough, and that kind of thing. But yeah, you might on the surface just be saying, well, you know, I want to be with this person. We've got this history together. But it isn't about that person. The need is to be loved and to be respected and to be cared for.
Yeah, that's powerful. It takes me back to that thought when we first talked about giving ourselves an apology. It's almost, in my mind, we're rationalizing, and we'll at some point have to apologize for all of our rationalizations that led to wherever poor choice point we are in our lives.
I might have made one or two of those.
Yeah. So I know, I think rationalizations are one of the things that I always look to my closest friends. I have two kinds of friends. I always love to say this. I have two kinds of friends. I have these wonderful people that just love me regardless of whatever. And they're the ones, bless their hearts, that'll never tell me that I have spinach in my teeth or those pants make me look fat. Never, ever. That just never would cross their mind. And then I have another set of friends that are wonderful, equally wonderful. And yet they're the ones that have this honesty about them, that they are the ones who, I love you so much, I'm going to tell you, you have spinach in your teeth, or why did you choose that outfit, Sharon?
That's real friendship.
Yeah, those are the ones, that's the group. I love the other group. And when I want, I mean, I need both of them in my life, absolutely. Yeah. But the spinach teeth people are the ones that I absolutely go to when I find myself doing rationalizations. Mm-hmm. Because oftentimes, they're emotionally connected to me, but they're not emotionally connected to the rationalization or the issue. And I've always found that so helpful. They'll just sometimes brutally, but you know it's coming from pure love, lay mm-hmm. it on the line. And it's a choice moment. It's a choice point.
Yeah, well, sometimes it just helps to have someone outside the box and who will tell you, this is how it looks from out here. This is what I see. This is what it looks like you're really doing. And is that really what you want? I'm kind of known for that.
Yeah, me too. My friend, that's maybe why I so adore those friends like you in my life who are in that category. But I think it's really important for us to be able to be aware that those categories exist and plus many, many other categories. But it's important to have those people in our lives. Sometimes it can be stinging. I know it. Sometimes it can be stinging when one of those friends comes up to you and said, hey, what's up?
You're being a jerk. And this is why I think you're being a jerk.
Right. But you know, those are the moments that you bless the situation, I think. And I know you've talked about being able to give in your book about giving blessings and giving grace and all of that kind of stuff. Let's delve into that rabbit hole for a little bit about how that works. And when we want to give ourselves and others that moment of grace, what are some things that you do when you walk through people through that point, choice point of beyond apology, but into self-forgiveness and forgiveness in general?
Yeah, that's a tough one for a lot of people. We just seem to love to beat ourselves up. We'll cut everybody else a lot of slack for the same things that we want to just beat ourselves up for and ad infinitum, you know, and it goes on and on. And I think, you know, the best place to begin is to look at yourself. Well, there are a couple of ways you can do it. One is to look at yourself like to reconnect with when you were a child. Reconnect with that little girl or little boy who's still inside and imagine that you're talking to that child. And if it's sometimes people need a beginning step, which is to think about another child, because again, it's still, I can't forgive myself. So sometimes people need to think about someone else they care about and think about how much they love that person and how they would forgive that person anything and love them unconditionally. And when you can make that connection and then find your way to thinking about that little person inside yourself, that seems to be easier for people than just kind of thinking of themselves as they are now and forgiving themselves. But we always seem to want to do ourselves down. But if you can connect with that little child inside, that seems to help. It's kind of like, well, I'm here to take care of you and everything's going to be okay now. And it's a kind of allowing yourself. Well, this was another thing I have to say. I had a moment where I realized I was living with double standards. I always said, I hate double standards. You know, that's not right when people have one set of rules for themselves and a set for everybody else. Then I realized I was doing that, even though I was putting myself on the, you know, the getting the short end of the stick, so to speak, or the whatever end of the stick, it was still a double standard. Even if I was being harder on myself than I was on everybody else and giving everybody else all kinds of breaks and understanding and yeah, that's, you know, be gentle with yourself. It's okay. Forgive yourself, whatever, you did your best. And then for me, you know, banging myself over the head with a bat 100 times a day, it was still a double standard. And then I went, oh, it was a very sobering moment. Because we sort of, I think, generally tend to think if it's a double standard, then you're putting yourself first and above others, but it's still a double standard if you don't give yourself the same love and kindness and compassion that you give others. And that's a big word too, compassion. I think starting with having compassion for yourself is super important because we have it for lots of other people in so many ways. But when do you show yourself compassion?
That's a good question. One of the first things that kind of goes through my head, and I'm reflecting back that I'm sure this was something I've learned through childhood, was that idea of grading myself and I could have done better. You know, whatever the situation was where I'm needing to give myself some grace and compassion and some space, the first thought really is typically a negative one where, you know, wow, I'd only give myself a C- for that. I could have done better, this type of thing. And then for me, it's been a learning process. When I first started this self-talk of compassion, it was a learning process that oftentimes that space was really quite pronounced between I could have done better and then, oh yes, you know, give myself some self-love, self-compassion, benefit of the doubt types of things. And then one way I realized, oh, I was getting better at this idea and actually loving myself more, is the space between that negative self-talk and the realization, not the rationalization, guys, the realization of the self-love and self-care and self-concern. The time got shorter and shorter. And I used to celebrate like, oh, wow, I didn't beat myself up for days.
Yay, that's so good. Well, you know, and you said, I could have done better. If you could have, you would have. But that's what we forget. Hindsight's a wonderful thing. You can look back and, you know, when you're having a really good day and your energy's better and things are flowing better, you think, oh, I could have done so much better on that day. No, it's still the best you could have done at that time in those circumstances in that very moment. But we forget that when we're feeling better later or when we learn something more later.
Oh,
you can't live in hindsight. That's ridiculous.
Oh my gosh, that's great. We need to take a quick commercial break. I want to share one thing my mentor said to me before we do. A beautiful mentor of mine used to say, and still says, surprise is the enemy of competence. Now, I know that's kind of a big, heavy word, but that's the way my mentor speaks. But it was so true that, as you said, Liberty, we would have done better if we could. Typically, when those things happen, it is a surprise. It's a shock. It's like, oh my gosh, didn't see that coming. So oftentimes the response is just really quick without a lot of deep introspection. So anyway.
Well, we never get up in the morning and say, well, today I think I'll do less than my best. Nobody ever does that. even though your best on that day might not be your best on another day, it's the best you can do in that day. And you just have to accept that.
Oh my gosh, we'll leave
Unless
it right.
Unless you really did get up in the morning and say, I'm not going to do my best today. Well, then I guess you didn't.
We'll leave it right there. We'll be back in just a minute. We'll be back with Liberty Force and talk some more about this, integrating this power and simplicity of self-healing. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and tonight we're here with Liberty Forrest. She's an author, award-winning author, columnist, and a Huffington Post contributor, and she has just these amazing abilities of intuition and psychic, natural abilities to these two, be a medium. I'm kind of messing that up, Liberty, but her insights are often very profound. And one of the things that I love is her book called The Power and Simplicity of Self-Healing. And that's tonight what we're touching on, because last time Liberty was here, we talked about more about intuition. And I wanted to get down into the real nitty-gritty of how do we take, now that we've practiced our intuition from Liberty's first time with us, How do we take it into really putting it into practice, And I love this idea of being able to talk to our body and to intuition and listen to it and put it into practice. So Liberty, as we're playing with these ideas of intuition, let's remind everybody from some of the first steps that you had about intuition. How do we know it's just not a bad B movie running through our head, or it's really our body asking us something, telling us something?
Maybe this will help. One of the things that people often struggle with is, you know, I talk about the little voice. That little voice inside will never lie to you. It will never steer you wrong. And people will say, but that little voice is telling me, oh, but my husband will be mad at me if I do blah, blah, or my kids will be upset if I blah, blah, blah. And I always say, no, that's not your little voice. That's your guilt. That's ego. That's other stuff that has nothing to do with your little voice. Your little voice, that higher self, that inner wisdom, will have your best interests at heart. So when you connect with something that is talking about how you will feel or what will be good for you or not good for you, and it kind of lasts, there, especially if you try to veer off that course and you just keep hearing that nagging, you know, this really doesn't feel good. When you pay attention to that, then usually you'll find that things actually go better. And we were talking before about the difference between what you need and what you want. That little voice will tell you what you need, but you have to listen to it. And it might be you think you want to marry someone and you want to, and it seems like a great idea, but something in there is going, I can certainly relate to this one, and not listening to it, not listening to that, because I didn't trust myself. You know, I was brought up to believe what I thought didn't matter, what I felt didn't matter. I wasn't important, and I was only here to look after everybody else's needs and make everybody happy. So I went ahead, got married, because I thought I wanted it, or I didn't dare speak up and say what I really felt, and didn't I regret it in a big way? But it's the difference is when it's something that you'll know, but it's about you. It's about what you need. It's not what other people want from you or need or demand or expect from you. So that's one major difference.
You know, we had Sarah Payton on, and it came to my mind that one of the tips she has for talking to the inner child, I think would really work wonderful for this. And I just want to share the idea and see what your response is. Sarah Payton, when talking about self-forgiveness, talks to the inner child with this voice of curiosity. And she uses the phrase, I wonder a lot. And so as she's talking to the inner child, the little voice, whatever whomever we're talking to at that time, that part of us we're talking to, it was really fascinating how it was like, I wonder, is this the right thing to be doing? I wonder, what are your thoughts on this? That this kind of voice of curiosity, I found it very helpful in my meditations. I'm surprised at how well certain parts of me respond to that voice of curiosity.
And the I wonder part is really wonderful, because it opens a door. It allows for possibility in a non-threatening way. It's not cramming an affirmation down your throat that maybe doesn't feel right, forcing yourself into trying to believe something that you aren't ready to accept yet. It just allows possibility, and it allows you to sort of be open to seeing the truth of how you really feel and what's important to you and what really needs to happen in your life. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful way to connect with yourself, as we were discussing before. That's so important, connecting with yourself. All of this is about knowing yourself. Everything in my book, that book, is really to do with paying attention to yourself, getting to know your body and how it's different from day to day and what isn't quite working. We can be so disconnected. You know, you have a cold or a flu and take a bunch of medicine and go to work. Why? Your body's demanding a timeout. That's why it doesn't feel well. It needs a rest for some reason. But nope, we give it medication and send ourselves off to work. We don't get enough sleep night after night after night, stuff ourselves full of caffeine and go to work. You know, just not listening. And this poor body is just being dragged along. It doesn't have a choice. It has to go with our determination and our stubborn streak. It's like they're two separate things. that's not a good recipe for health or happiness at all. Got to really know yourself and respect yourself.
Absolutely. I love that part of respecting yourself and reflecting on a couple of times when I'm thinking, when I was hearing what I thought my body wanted, yet I went to specific professionals saying, asking questions. Obviously, by the answers I got back, wasn't maybe the correct question. However, it's sometimes frustrating that when you think, okay, oh my gosh, I'd really, my body's saying this body part needs some relief, or this body part is in pain for some reason. And so going to a professional to have it checked out makes perfect sense. And then the professional sometimes tends to poo-poo it. Or this is one of my favorite, well, Sharon, women your age. And I often think I would have been diagnosed with the autoimmune condition sooner, that maybe didn't have to get as out of control as it was, if I hadn't been subjected to that phrase, women your age. And so it's about trusting that inner voice and knowing and not being dissuaded when you go, well, that's not really, that doesn't ring true for me in this case. Mm-hmm. There's so much about, we mentioned about taking positive feedback and advice from people, but then there, we have to look at the opposite side of how many times have I been talked out of something that then later down the road turned out to be a critical message that I had ignored because I had been talked out of it.
And worse is when you're being talked out of it. And I mean, there's sort of part one where you can actually then end up believing what they're trying to make you believe. There's part two, which I think is worse, where you're still feeling like, no, this isn't right for me, but okay, I don't dare speak up, or I don't dare stand up for myself. And I guess, well, you must be right. But there's still that something in you going, no, wait. And when we ignore it, that's when we get in trouble. But we're afraid to speak up. And women are, well, I shouldn't maybe say that. Men, I think there are lots of ways in which men don't like to speak up either. But as you know, people in general don't want to say, actually, no, I think that's a crock and it doesn't work for me and I'm not doing it. Thanks very much for your suggestion. But no, that doesn't work for me. You know, maybe you have to say it quite like that, but you know, if people are being pushy and pushing, I guess sometimes we do have to get a little bit like that and push back and just say, no, this doesn't fit for me. But we still feel like, oh, well, and especially with a lot of the medical communities, I think people, it's maybe not so bad now, people are getting more open-minded about alternatives, but there's still this thing about doctors and, you know, they know everything. They really don't. No disrespect intended. They know a lot and I respect that, but they don't know everything. And it's okay for us to speak up and say, sorry, that doesn't fit for me. I need answers elsewhere. Right. We have to speak up.
That's true. And there's nothing wrong. And sometimes you're right. Sometimes you have to be pushy. I've fired a doctor and I've been fired by a doctor before. So it's okay. You know mm-hmm. what? Life goes on. And those two things turned out to be one of the best moments in my healing. They put me on an entirely different track. And both of us are okay. I mean, you know, that was fine. But it's fascinating to me, this idea of what we allow ourselves to believe. And as you mentioned, it's not just the medical profession, although, you know, we are taught to believe everything they say, but trusting that there's no way they can know the distinct idiosyncrasies of my body versus somebody else's body. I always say that their advice is based on statistics and their best knowledge and their best research at that time. Yet I always believe that I know this body better than anybody else because I'm here 24/7. Mm-hmm. We live in it, but I might not always listen to it, even though it's talking to me. I might have to, though, as you said, be whacked up here and there to like, hey, pay attention here. But it's okay to say, you know, no, thank you. I think I'm going to seek other advice, especially with a lot of conditions. I you know, if this is a life-threatening condition, we have to make these decisions in the moment, totally understood. But a lot of autoimmune, especially after the initial diagnosis, you have some time. You have the ability. You might be in pain, whatever it is. But often with autoimmune, after the initial diagnosis and controlling of whatever is out of control, there's some time to take and go, oh, is that right for me? And let that settle in.
If you think about autoimmune issues, what is that? That's kind of the body attacking itself. So the next piece of that is, how am I attacking myself? In what ways do I put myself down? Am I not forgiving myself for something? Is there something I'm still holding myself responsible for that maybe really wasn't my fault? And if you really start digging around into what that means to you in your own life, you might be really surprised at the answers that you get.
Oh, absolutely.
And as a homeopath, we certainly look at the body is very, very literal in what it's expressing. And a lot of people, whatever the illness, it's so important to really understand yourself as much as you can. And, you know, we have such an amazing capacity to heal, more than I ever knew possible when I was doing that project. And I only did that project because I had got so fed up and frustrated with my heart problem. And, you know, you think about how we think the doctor heals us, right? Doctor does a surgery or some procedure or gives us medicine or whatever, and it heals us. No, because you think about when you heal from a surgery, the doctor doesn't do that. Might have taken something out, cut something off or whatever, but the body is healing itself. You cut yourself, it heals. You break a bone, it heals. We tend to think that, you know, that's it. That's about the extent of our ability to heal ourselves, but it's not true. And well, as you read in the book, I really was diving into people with multiple personality disorder. I think they call it dissociative identity disorder now. But these people with different personalities often heal much faster than anyone else because they have one personality that's constantly working on healing 24/7. And whether or not it's in control, it's still in there working on healing. And also with those people, there are many documented cases around the world of people with that disorder. And depending on the personality that's in control at the time, they can have one that's anaphylactic with nuts or some other food or something, when the other personalities can eat all the nuts they want. Or they've got one that's insulin dependent diabetic, but the others can have all the sugar they want when they're in control. They've got tumors and scars and burns coming and going and coming and going, depending on which personality is in control. That's astonishing. So not only does that speak to the power of belief, because each one of them is a different person from all the others, and they believe, you know, I had this injury or I didn't have that injury, so these things will come and go. But it's also it also screams about the power of the body's ability to heal. It's just incredible what we can do if we allow ourselves to believe it and focus on it.
Absolutely. That is astonishing. I'll have to look into that research. That's just totally fascinating. Now, one of the things that came as you were talking, I was thinking about the interview we had with Sandra Barrett, The Secret Life of Cells, not too long ago. And her definition was so profound, it really changed the way I look at autoimmune. And she said it was where specific cells, and this could be a group of cells, you know, it's not just like one cell, it could be one cell, but groups of cells have lost their identity to the self, and that or in other words, like to the whole. And when they lose this identity, that's when all of a sudden the rest of the body says foreign invader. And so the idea of how do we regain those specific cells that have lost their identity, how do we help them regain their identity? And this just came to mind. I'm wondering, and this isn't I'm wondering, guys, there's no science behind it here, whether visualization and affirmation and meditation might be of a benefit to help those particular parts of our body regain an identity to the whole. I'll have to play with that, everyone. Play with that, guys, if you're listening to this, and report back to me. Let me know what you think about that. I'm just thinking out loud here. That sounds like it might be an interesting undertaking.
Well, it certainly worked for me.
Yeah. Well, I just think it would be an interesting undertaking that would allow, you know, I'm just thinking, well, it's not any sort of radical intervention by any means. We're not taking any medication or cutting anything off or anything, so worth a try.
Uh-huh. I did a lot of that. That was a part of And that's, there's some detail about that toward the end of the book, I believe, where I was really getting into doing some Tai Chi, and because that's good energy work, gets everything flowing beautifully through your body. But sitting in meditation and visualizing, especially the parts of my body that hurt, my hips, I had a lot of trouble with my hips and my knees. And I would sit in meditation every morning and every evening and imagine healing energy swirling around them. And I could feel it. I could feel this beautiful warmth. And I couldn't believe how much it helped. And in fact, I remember one night in particular, I had a lot of, I think it was hip and lower back pain. And I sat in my chair, cross-legged to this big, beautiful armchair. And I was doing that. I was meditating and focusing on this healing energy in that area. And within about, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes, it felt better. The pain was gone. I thought, well, that was cool. because you're sending that healing energy to that part of your body. We are so connected in terms of brain and body, and we just don't think about it. So, you know, people often say things like, oh, my head is killing me, my feet are killing me. Don't say that. Or, oh, it breaks my heart. Shh, like, don't, because your body's listening and it takes orders from the brain, and the brain creates chemical messengers. As soon as you have a thought, which we do, you know, 60 or 70,000 times a day, it's responding all the time. Your body's always listening to those thoughts. And when you start sending it messages about, this is killing me, this is killing me, this is, and that's just something a lot of people say, mm-hmm. Your body's going to go, well, oh, okay, I guess I better set something up here then. It works like that.
Oh my gosh. We just blew past our quick commercial break there. We need to take one more. When Liberty and I get together, she just gets my curiosity going in multiple directions, as you've heard, as we've gone to multiple rabbit holes. But that's what happens when Liberty and I get together all the time. We'll take a quick commercial break and be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm here with Liberty Forrest. She's an international psychic and medium, as well as an award-winning author, a columnist, and a Huffington Post contributor, as well as many other things. You can find more about her at libertyforrest.com. The spelling of all of that will be on the website, understandingautoimmune.com. And we have just gone down multiple directions here, but I want to refocus back on before we had to take that quick commercial break because we blew past the timing of it and got up here against a hard break, was let's talk about this, how we language things, whether it's externally or just internally. Language things creates outcomes that we may not be wanting. I mean, this is fascinating to me, where I even hear people say, like, he, she, it is a pain in the neck. and you'll see that they're stretching their neck or doing whatever. This is interesting.
Like I said before, the body is listening. So when you send it thoughts, it responds. You send it thoughts about it breaks my heart, it breaks my heart, it breaks my heart. Guess what? Heart problems. That's what happened to me. I mean, there was more to it than that, but I used to say that a lot, or it's like a knife in my heart. It rips my heart out. I used a lot of that kind of heart language. And in my 30s, I'm starting to have heart attacks. When I was underweight, a non-smoker with a crazy healthy diet, lots of exercise, no risk factors at all. It was ridiculous. My doctor was stunned. So was I. But it's always listening. And what happens, it's like if you think about if you're sitting alone at night in your house, it's all dark and you're reading and you've just got a little dim light on and you're engrossed in your book and you hear something fall somewhere in your house, you hear a crash. What happens? Like you can feel your heart jumps. You can feel the adrenaline rush. You know,
I hold my breath. Yeah.
And it's in that same second. It's like they happen at the same time because it's such an automatic response, right? But you think about what had to happen. You had to have the thought, there's a danger present. You know, there's something happened. There could be somebody in my house. Maybe I'm in some kind of harm's way. Maybe there's something bad that's about to happen. Oh dear, I better get ready for the fight or flight thing. And now the brain is busy creating chemical messengers to send to your body to prepare you to do that. All of that happens like that. Because it's just, they were so connected. And it's constantly, your body's constantly responding to every single thought you have. So if you're busy having anxious thoughts all day long, worrying thoughts, negative thoughts, you're dumping all that negative energy into your body constantly. It's being filled with cortisol. You know, your bloodstream is loaded with that, and that's super damaging. Your body can't tell the difference between living in a war zone or living in a stressful environment, a toxic home, or financial stress, or whatever else might be causing you that stress. But it's that what's going on in your head is going to always affect your body, and you can do a lot of damage. So it's really important to think about changing your thoughts. That's why mindfulness meditation is so important, and that changed my life too. And I think that's one of the best things that you can do for your health, because it keeps you out of thinking about the future, dwelling on the past. It keeps you in this moment right now and right here, and in a more calm, accepting way. Like everything's fine for right now. It's all good right now. And as soon as you find yourself getting on that hamster wheel of, well, what if blah, 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 and you dump all that negativity in your body again. It's so unhealthy, but it'll listen to them. It'll create things that make you sick.
That's a really good point, because one of the things I have said often is when you get a chronic diagnosis in the body, it takes a while to heal, unlike, oh, it's a cold, I'll be fine in 10 days, 2 weeks kind of lifestyle. Sometimes we lose perspective on when an itch is just an itch or whatever it is. It maybe I smashed my thumb and I forgot it. It's not the rheumatoid arthritis or whatever it is flaring up. It's I did something and I forgot that I did it. And I'm glad you brought up this mindfulness meditation, which is in the moment. You don't have to sit there and get in the om position. And you can, as I call it walking myself back off the edge is what I call it. But mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. We just have about 4 minutes left, Liberty. When you and I get together, whether we're recording or just chatting, time flies. Time absolutely flies. Tell us a little bit, any final thoughts, and then tell us more about how people can find about you and about the book.
The final thought, I just back to this idea of having compassion for yourself and really taking the time to get to know yourself. And whether that's with journaling, spending time on your own, allowing yourself to have your feelings and your thoughts. So many people will turn on televisions, turn on radios. They've got to have some distraction. They don't want to be alone in their heads. They don't like their own thoughts. They're not comfortable with themselves. Well, yikes, you're missing your life, really. You're missing the opportunity to be happier, to be healthier, to really get to know yourself. And okay, you might find some warts, but that's okay. We've all got them. And you're going to find some really beautiful things as well. And that's how you can set down a path on of real healing and joy and happiness. But you have to get to know yourself and allow yourself to find out what those warts might be. That's okay. They're forgivable.
Mm. And so tell us more about your website and how people can get a hold of you.
Liberty Forest, two R's in forest.com. That's it. Contact page there. And I'm always happy to hear from people and answer some questions if I can be of some assistance. I'm also on YouTube I do daily, weekly, and monthly recordings. They're mostly like oracle card, inspirational, feel good kind of positive messages that help people to get through their days, so they say.
Oh, they do. I love your YouTube channel. It's always a delight when I get the little notice, because if you subscribe, you get notices of when Liberty posts on YouTube, which I just love. And then stay on the watch for the new edition of The Power and Simplicity of Self-Healing. I've enjoyed that book a lot. A lot of insights in there. Everyone, have a great week, whatever your adventures. Join me next week for another amazing episode. And if you have ideas for guests, go over to understandingautoimmune.com. and drop me a quick note, as I'm always looking for wonderful new people to meet and explore their ideas of healing and having a life as a thriver, regardless of your diagnosis. Join me over on Instagram and Facebook. It's called Understanding Autoimmune on both of those places, as well as Autoimmune Hour. I'm also on Twitter under Autoimmune Hour, and I could just go on and on, but I think those are the three main things that we'll talk about right now. Everyone, enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites, and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio.